All right, we're going. We're live.
This is exciting.
It is.
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Astia.
And my name's Manvir. And this is Audacious Aunties.
Right, isn't that?
No, because remember how we said that the person who announced Audacious Aunties is the one who's going to be hosting it this week?
Oh my god, it all makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
That's very good. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. Because I knew that you were about to start talking. I was like, no. It's not you, not you today.
Oh, you know, actually, what I was just saying before, the point of my story earlier was, this is also relevant to the podcast, so I'll say it here. I was, like, listening back to old Audacious Aunties episodes because I was trying to, like, inspire myself and, like, go on a trip down memory lane to see what we discussed and stuff. Uh-huh. And I was listening to an episode from last season that I was hosting, and I just sound so nervous the entire time. I'm like, I feel like I'm probably mum. I'm like, and then she was like, blah blah, and isn't that interesting? Oh yeah, like I don't even know. I sounded so nervous.
That's so wild because I literally feel the same about my own like episodes as well. I feel like my voice quivers.
Well,
but I don't get that with you.
I don't get that with you. Gosh, wow. You know what, Mabu? We need to take down these insecurities.
It's like,
okay, what do the people say? Do either of us sound nervous when we deliver it? Although, didn't we have a whole conversation in the other episode about how I was really nervous?
No, I don't know, but I feel like we can always bring up again. And yes, we should give this to the people so that we can get more engagement from the people. Because this is an interactive experience, y'all. And I think that you should send us a message on Audacious Aunties at Instagram or Audacious Aunts at Twitter to tell us, do we sound nervous when we talk?
Which is the ideal quality you want in a presenter, am I right?
Exactly. Was podcasting the right path to take? I guess we'll find out. But anyway, how are you? Besides being nervous about your voice. It's almost like voice dysmorphia, isn't it?
I get what you mean. I think lots of people have, because I think generally when you hear a recording of your voice, it sounds different to how you hear it in your own head.
Yeah, like, you usually think you sound nasally.
Yeah, and then especially as somebody who has a nasal voice as it is, it's like not a vibe when I hear back the extra layer of nasal. But aside from my voice, I'm feeling great, you know? Just, life is how it is.
Uh-huh.
And we exist, and we are, you know?
I respect that. Can I add, you don't have a nasally voice.
Thanks,
but
really?
Also, like, if you think you have a nasally voice, then, like, think about how you speak. Do you speak through your nose?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give you, like, nasal therapy right now.
I think we can schedule this for later, rain check the nasal therapy.
I agree. Okay, now ask me how I am.
Mamma, how are you?
I'm good.
Did that sound natural?
It really did. It didn't sound nasally, it sounded natural.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, no, life is good, to be honest. In Edinburgh, it snowed last night, which is, like, nice, because snow is really nice, but only if it's good snow, whereas, like, the snow from last night was kind of, it was significant enough to cover the ground, but not exciting enough, you know, to, like, cause a ruckus or, you know, to, like, make snowmen to have a snowball fight or anything like that. So, no, it's just going to be, like, icy and pathetic.
I love the weather, generally, as a concept, specifically. Yesterday, last night in Birmingham, it was the wind. So we have, like, really big trees outside the house.
Oh, you do.
And when the wind, it doesn't happen very often, but when the wind blows really hard in the night, the trees sound like ship horns.
Like,
what? Really loud.
How?
Like, they're like, they sound like a really loud horn, as though it's like a ship navigating through water. Because of, like, ship horns.
I don't think that's the tree. I think that's, like, the wind coming through your window. Trees don't make ship horn sounds.
It can't be the wind coming through the window, because how can the wind come through the window if the windows are closed?
No, but it's like, it's so strong that it's like really getting into the crew, and it's not the tree. The tree doesn't make shit for one sound. It's something to do with like the ventilation.
No, but it sounds bigger than that. It doesn't sound like confined to the window. It sounds like it's...
How would a tree make a ship horn sound?
Okay, maybe it's not the trees, but the wind itself. I just think it's the trees. I just associate it with the trees.
Can someone message us at Audacious Aunties on Instagram or Audacious Aunts on Twitter to finish this conversation? And just please enlighten us, because Asia is so wrong.
Indeed, it might not be the trees themselves, but it can't be... I don't know. I feel like my whole life is a lie.
I mean, it was really sweet and poetic the way that you thought it was, the idea of like trees, you know, becoming Ents in Lord of the Rings or something, and like being able to make these sounds. But no.
But it kind of makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, you're right.
I mean, how does it make sense in your head?
The point is, I like it when the wind does that. However, it is produced.
Okay. It is a nice sound, isn't it?
No, it's like quite disruptive, but I like it anyway.
Thank you for that. Alright, so we're a good 6 minutes in now and we've talked about trees that make foghorn sounds. So I think we're ready to find out what the topic is for today.
Of course. I totally forgot we were recording auditions.
To be honest, I often do as well. So, I went on a real journey this time. So, about 20 minutes ago, I messaged Asia saying I had nothing, and I'd been scrolling through the depths of Wikipedia and beyond for a good hour, just trying to find any like social movement that wasn't stuck in the West or Asia or Latin America or North America. So basically, I was just really trying hard to find a social movement that was actually based in Africa, you know? It's so hard to do that. And like, it's actually terrible how little Wikipedia has, like, in terms of like African movement resources. It's so frustrating. But anyway, so just as I was on the brink of giving up, it was 4:58 and Asya and I went to FaceTime at 5 o'clock and I still had nothing. I then clicked on a random link on Wikipedia and a social movement came up to me. Can you believe that? It appeared in front of my eyes.
I'm so excited.
I know, like a premonition. You know, I don't give up. And I didn't. Exactly.
Well done.
So, basically, I did manage to also find one that was based in Africa. So we're all winning today. Exactly.
Gosh, so many wins.
So I'm going to talk to you about the Sister Namibia movement.
Okay.
They're not called a movement, but they are a movement in their own right. So they're
being a bit loosey-goosey with the term movement anyway, so it's all
exactly
good.
I mean, what does movement even mean, you know? Don't even ask that don't even answer that question. Don't even ask that question. Just do nothing with that question. It was rhetorical. So they're formally known
messages
as...
Messages on Audacious on Instagram and Twitter for your thoughts.
Please just slide into our DMs. We're desperate.
Okay, I'm gonna stop interrupting now. I'm ready, hit me with it.
Okay. So, the Sister Namibia movement, formerly known as the Sister Namibia Collective, is a feminist, non-partisan, non-governmental organisation that's located in Namibia. And it was established in 1989 on the eve of Namibia's independence from South Africa. So, basically, as a whole, they advocate for women's rights and they engage in activities that promote full gender equality. So, like, they are obviously completely against violence, discrimination and oppression, and they really, like, move and engage on social media as well in their activism, which is really, really interesting because I feel like the movements that we've talked about are very mid 20th century. We've really found a specific realm, you know, of time for our social movement. So it's quite interesting that this one is so modern, that they have such a big stronghold on social media.
So they started in 1989 and they've persisted to the present day.
They're still existing. So I'll tell you more about their origins and how they like continue on into the day. But I just followed them on Instagram as well and they have some really cool content. So I would also suggest that everybody else does that too. Anyway, so what Wikipedia tells me about the origins is that it follows the story of Namibia's liberation. So, following from World War One, the League of Nations mandated that Namibia, also known then as Southwest Africa, should be governed by South Africa. And not only was apartheid imposed on South African rule, but women's rights were also restricted. They were considered like legal minors, married women could only engage in legal transactions with their husband's permissions. It was just terrible. So when Namibia won independence in 1990, the new constitution guaranteed, and I quote this, the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family, regardless of race, colour, ethnic origin, sex, religion, creed, or social economic status.
That sounds very encouraging.
Exactly.
That's what we like to hear.
Mm-hmm. So human rights protections under the law, however, were not as visible in practice. So it's a lot easier to say these things compared to implementing them. And so this is when the System Namibia Collective comes in. And so it was formed by two people called Elizabeth Caxis and Liz Frank out of their realisation that many women in Namibia did not even know that they had human rights. I know. So their aim was to provide education and inform about women's legal rights and to provide resources and skills for what women could do. And over time, they managed to create a base where they could pay their staff and create a magazine called Sister Namibia Magazine. And it's to speak out against all forms of oppression and discrimination against women and to write black women into Namibian history. So it's a really interesting magazine, and I'd definitely say to like look into it a bit more. And it's also really nice because you can see the evolution of this even just from 1990. Like with the magazine, they talk about inclusion of all and against oppression of all. So you can see how it has a more intersectional approach. So specifically in terms of the LGBT community, in 1993, the Sister Namibia Collective broadened its advocacy aims to become the first Namibian organisation to actively defend the rights of lesbian and gay people. And so, like, the Sister Namibian magazine began to include stories about the lives and struggles of lesbians and bisexual women, while the collective became like an outspoken challenger of homophobia in the news. And so at that point, homosexuality had not been an issue of public debate in the early years of Namibia's independence, because like it was just a taboo topic, so it's not like it had been solved, it just wasn't talked about. But after Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe's denouncement of homosexuals as, and I quote, lower than pigs and dogs and un-African in 1995, it became more widely publicised, and Namibian like officials also followed suit. Yeah, so then in October 1995, Hedino Hishongwa, who was Namibia's deputy minister for lands, resettlement and rehabilitation, told a reporter that homosexuality was akin to, and I quote, cancer and AIDS, and recommended that homosexuals, and I quote, operated on to remove unnatural hormones. Which is just ridiculous. And I don't need to say why. So Sister Namibia issued a response back to this, saying that we believe that gays and lesbians should have the same rights as heterosexuals in all spheres of life. And exactly. And it just goes on and on like this, where they were constantly being attacked by the government, but they continued to like fight and advocate for LGBTQ rights. And it's just really interesting how unafraid they were to speak out
against like the official government line. Yeah, it's really inspirational.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of them as a whole, and they have so many resource centers, they have so many, like, they have such a big social media presence. They have a really cool looking website and a Facebook page and an Instagram, so go and follow them all basically. And they just have really cool initiatives as well. So they had one initiative called the Sister Pads program. And so this was run to bring agency and mobility to menstruating schoolgirls and women by providing reusable pads, which is like not only good because they're providing period products to women, but they're also reusable as well, so like it's environmentally friendly. And it's like it's just brilliant how they're bringing in so many different things together. and they're iconic in my opinion. So I'm really happy that I found them at the last minute. And yeah.
Much to take in.
Yes, indeed.
I, firstly, full respect to them, that I enjoyed that, you know, once they've started, like, to the present day, they've just continued having initiatives that, like, you know, are relevant to the times.
Yeah, like, one of the nice things about them is that they've continued to grow as a movement. They haven't just stuck to a specific point in time.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, beyond that, Firstly, I may have typed them up on my laptop whilst you're talking.
On the I could tell because your eyes weren't looking at me, and I was like, how dare she?
Sorry.
It's okay.
And then, secondly, or maybe I'm on thirdly now, it's just, I really want to, like, firstly, I'm going to follow them on social media, and also, I really want to, like, read through their magazine and stuff and look at, through their resources to see what they've got going on.
Exactly, and it's also really nice because they really advocate for women across everything, and specific to Audacious Aunties, the art. So, if you look at the WhatsApp message I just sent to you...
Oh, wow, so efficient.
I'm so prepared.
Lovely.
So this was when I was looking on their Instagram account, and I saw this really interesting picture. It was a photograph of a woman who was, like, veiled in red, and she had a horn around her, and she looked very, like, surreal and ethereal at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, what's going on here? And so then it was basically them championing this artist called Masialeti Mbewe. I'm really sorry for that pronunciation. But she also has a really cool website, which is masialetimabewe.com, and you can just look into her, and she's just really cool. So this specific picture is from this series, an exhibition called The Afrofuturist Village. And if I just read to you what it focuses on. So it focuses on using space as one of the central themes, and how Black people occupy space, and how Black people can imagine non-monolithic Blackness in the future. And so the exhibition questions why space is the place, and theorises a future that does not require a Black exodus into outer space, but rather imagines a world that accepts Blackness. So what she's basically doing is she's taking the word space and using it in terms of, like, outer space, and also how Black people need to be given a space, you know?
Yeah. Like a double entendre.
Exactly. And I think that's so, so smart. Because when you look at her pictures, they're all of, like, beautiful, beautiful women, just, like, shrouded in, like, really, like, cool clothes that looks very alien-esque. And, like, you can tell that they look very ethereal, but at the same time, it's also talking about Black people needing a space, but, and the, I don't know, just the idea of making it outer space, or just, you can
sort
understand.
Sort of like like, it's trying to find a harmony between the ideas of outer space and out of this world, and, but, like, also the reality of finding space and place, like, on Earth.
Yeah. And, like, personally, the idea of outer space really feels unnerving, because it's not at home, it's not Earth. So to have that translated through this medium, like, it almost presents the how unnerving it must feel for Black people to constantly be looking for a space.
Yes, yeah, no, I understand what you're like. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. And I just think it's really smart and really beautiful as well, which is just a plus.
This initial image you sent me, I thought it was a painting, but because of the different textures in the photo, it almost looks like a painting.
Yeah.
But, no, I love it. Yeah. I totally see what you mean, like, the different mediums, like, all coming together. There's just, like, I feel like there's so many layers to what trying to be said.
And especially in the picture that I sent you as well, because, like, there's the traditional like face painting as well, it still feels very grounded in African culture, which is really, it's really nice, you know, to just have that kind of respect for one's past.
Yeah,
So,
totally agree.
Yeah, and so that's my artist, that's my movement, and I really hope you liked that.
I feel like that was such a whirlwind tour. I'm excited to look more into it and also look at some of the artists on the Instagram.
Yeah.
And see what they're all about.
It's really nice because on their Instagram as well, they have lots of resources too. And just like, you know how Instagram PowerPoints, I don't know what they're called officially, but you know, just like educational templates have been coming out.
What are they called? I know what you mean. Infographics.
Infographics, exactly. A lot of infographics have been coming out on Instagram. Theirs are really cool, but they're also like very educational too. You know, they're not just kind of like, oh, Black Lives Matter, without really any like solidifying like help.
What really angered me was when there were loads of infographics back in like June, July time, and like 90% of them were like, Black people matter, and here's why. Number one. They're humans, and it's like, I don't understand what the point of this infographic is. Like, we're not trying to, like, it's really horrific that we need to educate people on very basic concepts, as people should all be treated equally.
It's so sad that such an obvious thing needs to be stated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely looks past Black people are human. It comes into, like productive help, which I think is really good, and productive education too. Like, they have a lot of terms on there which they explain, so I overall really respect them, and they're just really cool. And I'm like, honestly, I'm just shaking because I'm so grateful I managed to find something in the nick of time.
Yeah, that was close, but you know, it was worth it. We were rewarded.
It really was. But yeah, so that's it as a whole, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And till next week, Asya, do you want to say anything? Any final words on what you thought about the movement as a whole?
Firstly, I just realised that space and place rhyme.
I'm proud of you.
And I've been thinking about that for a while. And then secondly...
this is what she thinks about when I'm talking. She doesn't listen to me.
I don't think I have much else to say. I feel like we've done a good, like... introductory cover of like what the movement's all about, and it's exciting that it's a movement that's still going on because it means I can like follow it in real time. And
so can you, audience, so can you.
So I'm looking forward to next week, whatever that topic may be.
Don't save it till the last minute like me.
And until then, I suppose that's all from me and you.
It is.
Baby. Do you have it? I won't put words in your mouth.
No, I think that's all, but we need a jingle.
Do, 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 do.
Wow. Yours really vary from week to week. I'm impressed.
I started doing the Harry Potter theme tune by accident.
I noticed.
Backtrack, don't want to get sued, am I right?
I feel like we've been talking a lot about Harry Potter recently, like between each other.
Yeah.
That needs to stop. Okay, we're not 12 anymore.
Yeah, sugary.
Anyway, this has been Audacious Aunties, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. I said that in such like a teachery voice.
Yeah. You really could. You were like, we'll see you next week, class.
This audio was brought to you by Manveer Dobb and Asya Iftikhar.
We don't know much, to say the least.
But if you would like to share your thoughts, knowledge, criticisms, fan mail,
then pop us an email at audaciousaunties@gmail.com.